right, we'll start a few seconds earlier today. I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the Gravity Beach City Council for Monday, November 5th, 2012. And I would like to say thanks to everyone who's joining us tonight. It's almost a festive feeling in the council chambers this evening, so that's a good thing. And so I want to thank those who are tuning in at home. Would you all please stand and rise with us? We'll have a moment of silence for the 109 people who lost their lives in the Superstorm Sandy, as well as all of the victims on the East Coast. Thank you. And please remain standing for our flag salute. One of the things that we really enjoy is having the youth involved and giving our flag salute. So I see she's here already. Tonight leading us in our flag salute is Abigail Abuna. She is 8 years old and a third grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School. She likes math because that it helps her think quicker, reciting poems because she can learn words associated with sounds and learning about nature. Abigail said,
"Friends, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all."
Very well done, Abigail. So we have a certificate of appreciation. Thank you so much. You want to look over here and Kathy will take your picture. Want to shake everyone's hand?
You did a fine job. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Abigail. Please be seated. Quite impressive, Mom. She's very, very good job. Roll call, please.
Here. Present. Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you, Donna. City manager, looks like we have no closed session announcements this evening, correct? I'm sorry, city attorney. It's okay. All right, at this point, the council will review the order of the agenda as presented by staff, and we'll decide if we want to make any changes to the agenda. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda? I would actually suggest, I'm going to recommend that we switch items 1 and 2, if that's okay with the rest of the council.
Sure. Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'd also like to announce that we had advertised the Vernon Project 10th and Farrell to come forward, but we had pulled it off because it wasn't quite ready to move forward. It'll be re-advertised when it's appropriate to do so.
Okay, very good. Was there anyone here hoping to speak on that item this evening? Oh, okay.
Save my comments.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, so we will note that. And I had suggested we take item 2, which is a mayor's commendation honoring Grover Beach resident and business person Clifford Clark, and we switch that with the certificate of appreciation to the Grover Heights Elementary School's Friday Night Live leadership teams.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented with the change of switching 1 and 2.
Okay.
Second.
There's a second?
Yes.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. All right. So we're going to move forward, and we are going to take item number 2 first. And may move down to that. And then we'll get to the first item. But let me... I'm gonna hold on to this commendation because this was a long list. This individual, I'll tell you, I was out talking to individuals about a month or so ago, and finally the light bulb came on clear as day. because I was talking to individuals who were sharing story about the community when they built the community center on Trueville and I think 12th. And he was talking about how families had gotten together and going and buying the lumber and building that facility that we use today for so many things. And I realized that we need to do more to pay respect and to commend those who have been critical in the formation of this wonderful city we all live in. So the first individual that came to my mind was Mr. Clifford Clark. Cliff and his wife, Mary Lee, and their young children actually came to Grover Beach in the early, mid-1950s. He established a law practice that served most of the South County at a time when lawyers in the county were few and far between. Shortly after arriving in the community, he became active in local civic affairs. And from 1958 to 59, Mr. Clark was a true civic pioneer and was instrumental in working with the committee to incorporate the city of Grover Beach. Actually, it was Grover City back then. In 1959, his effort was successful. Mr. Clark was the first city attorney for the fledgling community. In fact, he crafted many of the original documents necessary for incorporation, and he also drove to Sacramento with his young family to actually ensure that these documents would be recorded before the end of the calendar year, thus ensuring the city would not be delayed in receiving its first check for sales tax revenue. In addition to his civic incorporation, Cliff has contributed in a number of other ways. In 1961, he and some local businessmen joined together to start a little community bank known as Midstate Bank, and that bank is Robo Bank today. He also volunteered and supported the then all-volunteer Grover Beach Fire Department, and he was also instrumental in bequeathing and obtaining properties necessary for the organization and implementation of Ramona Garden Park, as well as the Ramona Garden, along with Cliff at the same time. And I remember thinking, if I can be criticized with a man like Cliff Clark, I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. Cliff, I just want to say you've been a huge inspiration to me and to this community. I know you've shared a very personal story with me regarding one of the only African-American churches in this community and how you played a huge role in getting them that property when we were not as tolerant of different cultures. And so I could go on and on all night. But I just felt that the time is right. And it may be a little overdue, but I'm so glad you're still here that we can give you this. And this is a mayor's commendation. And I did it as a mayor's commendation because I didn't have enough time to get all my colleagues together, but I'm sure they would agree with this. And so what I want to do is give you this, and then I'll give everyone on the council an opportunity to speak. But this basically is a mayor's commendation to Cliff Clark in recognition and appreciation for your many years of service and contributions as a civic pioneer, a business person, and local philanthropist to the city and residents of Grover Beach. So, Cliff, I am deeply honored to present this to you. We are all better for knowing you and for your involvement in this community.
Well, thank you all for all that.
So let me start to my right. Anyone wanted to say anything to Mr. Clark, while he's here, and he and his family here.
I'd just like to say thank you, and it's really long overdue. I appreciate you very much and all that you've done for our town and the residents. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Clifford, I met you when I first moved here, which was about 12 years ago. We had a number of conversations involving different situations. It has indeed been a pleasure. I heard so much about you and the things that you have done for this community. It is indeed a pleasure to know you, and thank you so much for what you've done for this community.
Very good. To my left.
I'd like to say thank you to Cliff's family who are here tonight and who've always been here and who've shared him with us. Thanks.
Phyllis?
Your mark is everywhere, Mr. Clark. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you again. Absolutely. So let's move back to item number one, and Ms. Petker.
Good evening. Could I please have the Grover Heights Elementary children come up here with their leader, Debbie Johnston? Go ahead and face the audience. Mayor and City Council members, I'm proud to present with you the Grover Heights Elementary Bright Futures children. They are part of the Friday night live classes, and this is the leadership classes of 3rd and 4th and 5th and 6th graders. There's actually about 35 of them in the class. This is the group that could make it this evening. And we are here to honor them and to give them a certificate of appreciation for their efforts. They have adopted Grover Heights Park. And this their group, Debbie Johnston, is the coordinator for Friday Night Live and Bright Futures. And she's been working with the kids for 9 years. And she's also a Parks and Rec. Yeah, we're going to get a picture. We're going to stand behind the children. And you know, it's so interesting. We can always tell when we have an event with children because the parking lot is full. And if you don't get here early enough, you don't get a parking spot. So. But Debbie, I want to give you this certificate of appreciation, and this is for all the hard work that the kids have done. Thank you. Did you want to say something?
Thank you very much. I just want to say the kids love what we do, and we enjoy taking care of the park, and it is looking a lot better. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So we're going to give them a few minutes to clear the room. I know, I've tried. It never worked.
No. Okay, good, because I hadn't RSVP because I was...
No, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay.
So, John, 7:15?
I'm trying. You ready?
Well, you're really pushing it.
I know.
Okay. There we go. Okay, let's move on to our public communications. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. Please bear in mind that the council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot take action on any item unless it's on the agenda. But this is your opportunity to speak for any item that is not on the agenda. So please come forward, state your name and city of residence for the record.
My name is Tom Martin. I'm with South County Sanitary, the garbage company, and my residence of record is Napomo. I'm here tonight to talk to you about a couple of things. One is to introduce Brett Faulkner, who's my second in command. You've probably seen him out and about and running around, and you'll probably see more of him in the future. It's by staff or by consultants that really don't affect the CEQA process, because we don't want to put that in jeopardy with this appeal, but we do want to get to have the supervisors walk those things back to what we feel is a more reasonable financial level. To give you an idea, every $5 a ton has an impact of 2% to the ratepayers. The cost of building the Coal Canyon expansion project, just the liners and the things we have to do by digging a hole, that's going to add about $25 a ton over the life of 10 years, over the 10-year, the next 10-year period. The conditions that we're asking the board to walk backwards are going to add another $25. Oh. So that's going to add about 20% to the cost of rates if the board of supervisors doesn't walk some of this stuff backwards. So I don't want you to argue our positions with them. Obviously, we're going to go up there and try and make our points. But I would encourage you to contact any of the supervisors that you know and implore them to try and find a way to reduce some of these costs. Because ultimately, I will be back here in June asking for the rate increases as a result of what they allow, because they're a direct pass-through to the ratepayers. And so we want to keep them at a minimum and keep the rates as low as possible moving forward. That's it.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Karen?
Mr. Martin, is there somewhere where we can get some information on these types of the types of charges that they're asking for you to
Sure, pay. If you send me an email, tomm@wcnx.org.
WCNX.org.
Whiskey Charlie Nancy X-ray.org.
Thank you.
And I'll send it back to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you.
And just so we're clear, you are appealing the project from Planning Commission to the Board of Supervisors,
That's correct?
Okay, very good. Thank you for the information, Tom. Is there anyone else?
Linda McClure, residents of West Grand Avenue in Grover Beach and a Grover Beach business owner. I got to say it's the first time I've come before you that I've been nervous. I've tried to say this in the proper way, in a professional way, but I'm here tonight because I'm finally done with what seems to be a blatant effort to slander my name and my company's reputation in this community. I have put up for approximately 3 years now with slanderous statements in what I term the dossier document with which Liz Dukas insinuates that the only way I've gotten what I want with the city of Grover Beach is due to my quote-unquote special relationship with the city manager. And though I think Mr. Perrault is a very handsome man, I have only spoken to him for a few moments at a few times over the past 3 years. I also get a lot of stuff done, I believe, with the city because I treat the staff with respect and I listen to what they need and I bring it back that way. Most of you who know me are fully aware that I love my city and I love my country. I've come to the aid of many people who are in need. To be accused by Liz Dukas of being a slumlord would be humorous, if not so hurtful. Yes, I've made my mistakes in putting the wrong tenant in a unit once in a while. This can happen to anyone, especially those of us who have worked with hundreds of people a month. But I have corrected these mistakes once I have proof the tenant is in violation. The so-called druggies that Liz mentions in her so-called dossier were placed in one of my units by me and evicted due to my efforts of calling undercover agents, informing them of the problem. Liz fails to mention that. I have recently discovered that Phyllis Milnar has gone into the unit that Liz Dukas has been complaining about. I can only state, in my opinion, the so-called visit was sneaky and deceitful on her part. In discussing this with her regarding illegal placement of her signs on some of my properties that I know for a fact did not have given her permission, I also discovered that the commission has gone into a closed session regarding me, my company, and one of my clients. I have been told that I have been fully in compliance with everything I have been asked to do. When I told her how deceitful I believe she had done to gain entrance into my unit, not to mention taking the time of my staff, she stated she went in on an open house. This in itself would be a miracle since we've never had an open house on that property. You must call the office, take the time of my people, and then go in. I'm here to make it known to all of you, if at any time you have an issue with one of American Properties properties or one that I personally own, you only need to give me a call. I will personally take you into the unit, and if there is anything that I am not in compliance with this city and what they expect of me, I will make sure that it is corrected as fast as legal ways are possible. You cannot kick someone out in a couple of days. It takes legal procedure. And let me be assuring to you that whatever American Property Services does, we always do it with the utmost grace with this.
Agendized for closed session discussion in which this council was determined if actions were to be taken regarding my complaints. From reviewing the minutes, it appears that no reportable actions were taken by the Shoals Council majority, which would include Mayor Shoals, Mayor Pro Tem Bill Nichols, Councilwomen Deborah Peterson, and Karen Bright. In the last Planning Commission hearing, Commission Member Blum, in discussion of an upcoming low-income housing project, told the audience members and complainants that citizens must do their homework and know where they are buying and what the allowable uses are for their neighborhoods they intend to live in. Well, I did my homework. I looked through this whole city, my place of residence, of where I will live forever for 4 years for a home in an R1 low-density single-family residential neighborhood. And now, because of one bad decision after another by city officials and this council majority, I continue to live next to what can only be termed a high-density apartment building. As of today, per the requirements of a city attorney letter dated 8-12-8-10-12, quote, the shutoff of the internal stairs is not a code violation, end quote, as long as the home is rented to one family. Please let me update you. A single family has moved into the residence. However, what is truly distressing and what I have personally observed is that the parents live in the upstairs unit. There is a juvenile male child and a juvenile female child living in the downstairs unit. Starting at about 6:30 every weekday morning, the children, in the dark and when it has been raining, have to egress the bottom floor front door. They are barefoot and with blankets around them, sometimes just in pajamas, and go up the exterior stairs to the upstairs unit. possibly to have breakfast. I don't know. Then continuing on until 7:30 a.m., all the family members are going up and down, back and forth the exterior stairs, which I can clearly hear and can clearly see from the interior of my home. Back and forth, doors opening and closing, much like any family would in any normal interior hallway or interior stairwell of any single family home in America. But alas, they can't, because this wall is still solidly in place. This is clearly a home divided, still set up as a duplex with two completely separate units and two separate access points. What was just a secondary rear access to the upstairs unit has now become the one and only ingress-egress access point of the top of the structure, which overlooks my backyard. I don't even know if this is legal, but it is clearly putting the health and safety of these children in jeopardy when their parents do not have access to them throughout the night. I do not want anything adverse to happen to this family. They seem nice, and I have no ill will toward them. What I do have a problem with is this city allowing this to occur just because you refuse, for some unknown and completely incredible reason, to enforce our already in place rules, laws, and ordinances to have the homeowner remove this interior wall that was illegally installed, is not permitted, and could not ever legally be permitted. When the city does not allow mothers to be with their daughters, fathers to be at close hand to their sons in the middle of the night when it is dark, sometimes raining and inclement weather, then something is terribly, terribly wrong. I am still requesting and will continue requesting that administrative review be conducted of this unlawful decision entered into by City Manager Bob Peralt, City Attorney Martin Kazanowicz, Community Development Director Bruce Buckingham, and ratified by the Shoals Council majority. Also, please see attached the civil judgment against a prior tenant.
I need you to wrap up because we do have a copy.
Thank you so much. Also, please see attached the civil judgment against a prior tenant of the upstairs unit in the amount of $109,000. If this homeowner, per the original planning violation letter from our Building and Planning Department dated September 23rd, 2010, had done what was required of him, our city laws properly and legally enforced by our city leaders, then none of these terrible events over the course of these last 2 years would have occurred, and a family would be together throughout the day and night, living safely, comfortably, and all together within one home.
Thank you, Liz.
So much for the extra time. I appreciate it.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council during public communications? Okay. Seeing none, let me close it, bring it back to the council. And Donna, you've got a copy of this, correct? Okay, very good. Let's move on. We have no public hearing items this evening. We're going to move on to our consent agenda, and this is an agenda where the council takes routine items in a group, and there are four items on consent this evening. There's the Treasury report for the period of October 9th through October 30, 2012. Item 4 is minutes of several council meetings, including September 17th, October 1st, October 15th. Item 5 is consideration of a resolution in support of the Cuesta College accreditation. And 6 is South 13th Street.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, tonight you have a staff report regarding the Memorandum of Understanding between the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, SLOCOG, the Regional Transit Authority, and the South County Area Transit. And the purpose of this meeting is, or this item, is essentially to have the council review the MOU, receive a presentation from Jeff Straw, the Executive Director from RTA and SCAT, who is here to talk a little bit about the MOU. And then the recommendation is to essentially support or recommend that the SCAT representative support the MOU when they meet again on Wednesday. By way of a little bit of background, as you all know, the city participates with SCAT, with Rio Grande, Pismo Beach, and the County of San Luis Obispo. Recently, in 2010, the area served by SCAT actually qualified as an urbanized area according to the federal government. This means that it has a population of 50,000 or more. Along with that designation comes the ability to access additional federal funds. The additional federal funds are for transit and can be used for both capital and operational expenditures. The good thing about this is that actually, in part, the additional federal dollars can also be used in place of some of our TDA dollars that we are currently using to fund SCAT. Right now, the obligation is about $196,000 in TDA funds per year. What will happen is that with the arrival of the new federal funds, we are able to replace a part of the operational costs in capital funds with federal funds, and it could mean that we'll see about $90,000 next year, or I should actually say the year after, October of next year, in additional street dollars. That's the good news. The process that we're required to go through to access these funds is actually the MOU, and I'll have Mr. Straw explain how that's going to work shortly, but it is a process whereby programs that will consist of both operational and capital programs will be recommended ultimately to the federal government. But at this point, unless the council has any questions of me, perhaps I can ask Mr. Straw to move forward.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and have Mr. Straw make his presentation, and then we'll ask questions of one or both of you.
Thank you again. My name is Jeff Straw. I'm the Executive Director of the Regional Transit Authority. Also serve as the Administrator for SCAT. As Mr. Peralta correctly kind of stole my thunder, the good news is we've got some federal funds coming to the area, and we've got some. They're pretty flexible, so we can use them for both operating and capital. It's pretty rare nowadays when we get federal funds that can be used for operating. But the bottom line is I've presented the same information to the other two city councils. The bottom line is we can use these funds to replace some of the TDA funds that you've been dedicating to transit, the TDA funds. And about $196,000 is what you're currently committing. So we tend to say try to do about 45%. You can use a maximum of 50%, but we always say use up to 45% in case there's any wiggle room. If we come under budget, or our revenues come in higher from Farebox and advertising, then you can't get that money reimbursed. So we always suggest going a little bit under the 45% to give you some wiggle room, and that works out to about $90,000. Mm-hmm. We expect those funds to be available in September or October next year as a reimbursement back to each of the cities. So in terms of the process, the governor has designated SLOCOG as the designated recipient of the funds. RTA has always acted as the grantee, both in the North County area and the Atascadero, Paso Robles urbanized area, as well as in the San Luis. We act as a grantee. So we're looking. This MOU is very similar to the ones that are used in the North County and in the central area too. So the good news is the funds are going to be here pretty soon. It's just going to take a little bit of time before they're actually available to you.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
I thought you were pausing and you had more good news to give us.
That's pretty good news.
Sorry about that.
First, 2012. It's just really a year lag is the way this works, because it is a reimbursement.
Yeah. So I was thinking that, you know, since you're talking about we may see potentially 90 to 96,000 that we could use on our streets, because obviously we all understand the buses are a good thing, but they do have an impact on local streets. Sure. And so just trying to figure out when we could begin planning for the use of those funds is really where I'm going with this.
Well, in the North County, they've done it as early as now. I mean, they're knowing the funds come in reimbursement, and you can talk with the folks up in Atascadero and Paso Robles, but they typically budget them in advance, and when the funds come in, they backfill.
Okay, great. Okay, I don't think we have any other questions.
of you. So,
well, before I leave, I just want to say thank you to Mr. Scholes. Mr. Scholes helped RTA through a very difficult time about 4 years ago. RTA was faced with some very difficult decisions in terms of its continuing operation. Mr. Scholes' leadership was greatly appreciated, and in fact, it's the only time that a board president served for more than 1 year because we needed his continuity on the board. So I know tomorrow is going to be your, or Wednesday is going to be your last meeting, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. That was not expected, but I appreciate it.
I had one comment, if you're doing comments.
Okay, so let me do this. This is a business item, but let me open this up and see if anyone from the public would like to address this item before us. Okay, seeing no one, let me bring it back. And so, Councilmember Peterson.
I just wanted to say that it was really refreshing to have you tell us to give you a little bit less than you might need, because I'm so used to budgets where those operating the budgets say, give us more, so we don't lose it. So thank you. That was a breath of fresh air. I'll be more than happy to do that.
Okay. Any other comments?
No.
No? So someone prepared to make a motion, and I believe this motion staff is recommending.
Right. Okay. Recommending that the representative support the MOU.
So you're telling me how to vote on Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm. Suggestion.
It's all good. It's all good. So if someone wants to make a motion.
I will make a motion that we follow staff recommendation and direct our representative to support the adoption of the Memorandum of Understanding.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. And I believe I can do this on a voice vote, correct? So if there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? None. Motion carries. Let's move on to item number 8. This is fiscal year 13 budget. This is a first quarter report. City Manager, are you giving this report?
Yes, I'm going to give the report, and then Gayla and I will both be available to answer any questions that you have. As you know, on a regular basis, staff reports to the council on the fiscal activity of the city. This is essentially just to give you an update on where we stand. As far as the first quarter is concerned, we've detailed in the report essentially the general fund, the water fund, and the sewer fund, which are the major funds that you're dealing with. We also took the opportunity to provide you with an update on where we sit in terms of the goals that you adopted last year, because that's really at the beginning of the budget year, because that's really what's driving the budget. In terms of the general fund itself, we have what we consider at least positive news in that the sales tax appears to be coming in. It's preliminary. We're just dealing with a couple months of payments, so there really isn't enough to really establish any kind of a trend. But if what we're seeing continues to take place, we expect that the sales tax will be over what staff originally projected by $56,000. The rest of the revenues we'll get a little bit better handle on in December, and that's because that's when we receive the largest amount of our revenue, which is obviously the property tax. We'll receive those in two payments, and by that time we'll have a better understanding of exactly how the city's revenues are trending as well. From an expenditure standpoint, everything appears to be in line with the original budget. We're roughly 25% through the year. The expenditure level is a little bit greater than that, but that's because there were some one-time expenditures that have been budgeted to occur in the first quarter. Those typically include things like insurance that we pay only once a year. It also includes the compensation for retirement anticipated, but we will do a further analysis of that in January and be in a better position to report back to you at that point. Sewer remains healthy in terms of expenditures versus revenues as well. The one area in the general fund that we actually requested some action tonight, and that really would be to adopt a resolution allocating $30,284 additional dollars in general fund monies, and that's to cover an advance that was actually made to special projects a couple of years ago. What happens with the special projects, if you recall, about in 2010, we decided to put those into a separate fund so that we could encourage revenue covering efforts. And during the first year or two, the revenue did not cover those expenditures. At this point, we're asking that the advance actually be absorbed, and that would be done with an allocation. The reason that we're doing it at this point rather than maybe earlier is simply we don't think revenues will be sufficient to repay that from the special events fund at this point. Although I'll tell you, in 2012, revenues for special funds are right now exceeding expenditures, so they are doing better. And it just depends on where we sit at the end of the year. The Sizzling Concert Series did more than cover for itself, which is great. We'll also use some of those additional revenues to offset some of the other projects that don't cover their expenditures. But we'll have to wait until a little later in the year to get a little bit better idea as to how that will balance. So essentially, in terms of the budget, we're recommending that the council adopt the resolution for that allocation. Relative to the goals, my intent here was not to do an exhaustive listing, but more or less just to give you an update as to where we were as of September 30th in meeting a lot of our goals. So that concludes my staff report. Both Gayla and I are available to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, let's see if there's any questions. But to my left, Phyllis, you have anything?
Yeah, I really would like you to clarify the special event fund again. It was not clear to me at all.
Gayla?
For fiscal year 10 and 11, the revenues were not sufficient to offset the expenditures.
What were the revenues?
Deficit in the fund.
I suppose if we had had a chart showing what had happened in those years and why we needed to do this would have been helpful.
Okay. For the 2 years combined, it was $30,294.39 that was the shortfall of the revenues. This fiscal year for 13, we are looking good because we had a couple of large donations to the Stone Soup, or not Stone Soup, to the Sizzling Summer Concert Series that has helped the fund stay healthy for this year. But when you consider the staff time that is involved and the expenditures involved with all of the special events that the city has, it's running about $15,000 a year that needs to be subsidized from the general fund.
Gayla, in terms of answering Councilmember Molnar's question, if I could, do you know how much revenue was actually generated
I can get that, but off the top of my head, no.
Okay. I guess it just would be nice if we could see clearly what we were short, why we were short, how much is coming in now, what we think we're going to need for this fiscal year to help understand the moving of this money.
Yeah, for this fiscal year, I do not think we will need any for the fiscal year itself if things continue to hold true. The other items, the other dollar amounts are in the budget document.
Okay, so this $30,000 is to repay past years?
Past years, 2010 and 11.
Okay, why didn't we do this earlier?
I think it was because we were hoping that the revenues would, in fact, have caught up sooner and we would be able to use that revenue to offset the $30,000 in expenditures. That hasn't occurred as we had hoped for.
All right, thank you.
And you mean revenues generated through the special events,
right?
Correct.
There are there is no revenue involved. For example, Arbor Day, Carved Pumpkin is very little unless we get an actual cash sponsor. Some of those community events that we do are for community service and educational purposes, and that's directly staff time and supplies.
Right.
So most of our revenues that are received for special events are through our sponsors, donations, and then actual donation, cash donations on site at the event, and entry fees, if there is any.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions to my right? Yep. Karen?
I believe it was just at last year when the council had requested that the Parks and Rec Commission and the Parks and Rec Department started to get involved in helping to make the events try to help pay for themselves, if I'm not mistaken, because of this issue. As much as we wanted these events to take place, but we really didn't want it to continue to be a burden on the general fund. But I think, my question is, was that just this?
Actually, it's been an ongoing theme since about 2010. And that's been communicated to the Parks and Rec Commission. And they are improving on doing the fundraising. This year is the first year that it has really been able to begin to show that at least at this point the revenues are exceeding their expenditures.
It seems to me that we really had given a real push to that at the beginning of this year or the end of last year when we were doing our budget last year, I believe. And I think they have done a good job. At least this year, mm-hmm. seems that they have, at least we're looking like we're going to be able to be flush this time around. Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
Okay, I don't have any questions. I do have comments when the time comes. So this is a business item. I am going to open this up. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address this item before the council tonight? Okay, seeing none, let me bring it back to the council. Let me just say, I agree with the, let me start this way. I know typically when we review the budgets and we start talking about special events funds, we typically know it's something that we've subsidized, and I think it's typically shown in the budget with the hope that revenues would grow. So I do know that that's an expectation, but I will say I agree with Councilmember Monar. If we're talking about 2010, 2011, you know, it's probably something that should have been brought back sooner. I don't know if staff was just waiting to see if we had greater revenues, but we want to close that loop sooner rather than later. Because I know that we had talked about a subsidy, but trying to reduce the amount of subsidies, and I know it's always tough when we go through budgets to say we're not going to fund the Dune Run, or we're not going to fund the Stone Soup, or we're not going to fund these events that the community finds give a lot of spirit to it. But we just got to make sure we're doing better tracking and reconciling books sooner. So that said, does anyone else have any other comments?
No. I had one more comment on the budget. Under discussion in the staff report, and it talked about the sales tax adjustment at $545,000 for a combined total of $1.295 million. So that's on page 2 at the top. And the thing that I found quite encouraging was the sales tax adjustment was the vote that we took a few years back to increase our sales tax. And as I recall, we were thinking it might bring in $400,000 to $450,000, and now we're sitting at $545,000 in just a few years. So I'm very encouraged by that and thankful to the community for voting that in.
Mr. Mayor, if I could. Another reason that it is a little bit higher than our regular sales tax, just to explain that that sales tax is subject to the triple flip, if you remember, and we end up actually losing some of our sales tax, and it gets replaced for a complicated state formula by property tax. So that's the reason that the regular sales tax is a little bit smaller than you might otherwise think.
Okay. Well, thanks, staff, for bringing this first quarter report, because I think...
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. Thank you, Donna. Let's move on. Let's see. We're going to go back to our pooled consent agenda items, and this is item number six, city manager.
Yes, Mr.
Good
Mayor.
Staff report.
Yes, I can give you a staff report. This is an item to award a construction contract for the sidewalk. Excuse me, please. Between.
Thank you. I think, Councilmember Molnar, we showed that you have a potential conflict of interest on this item due to proximity.
Yes, oh. But I was going to excuse myself. Yes, I am at Trouville.
Is that where your office is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Send me hand signals on that. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Yes, this is a project to award a construction contract for the construction of sidewalk between Manhattan to Mentone. The project was actually bid with an original base bid. The base bid was to take the sidewalk from 13th, down 13th Street from Manhattan to Seabright. The second was Seabright to Trouville, and the final section as an alternate was Trouville to Mentone. As the council may recall, we had $157,142 available for this project. The estimate for, I should point out the engineer's estimate for the base bid was $115,000. Cal Portland, which is the low bidder, came in at $115,975. That leaves $24,000 out of the original CDBG funding. That leaves $24,000 for construction and surveying, and the remaining $17,241 to be used for contingency. The council does have an alternative available to you, actually two alternatives. You could utilize additional funding from a couple of different sources to actually continue the sidewalk should you wish to take on either the first alternative to Trouville or the second or one and two alternatives, which would take it down to all the way down to Mentone. The dollars that are available, the first, if you were to extend it to Trouville, the cost would be an additional $131,851. If you were to go the entire distance, it would be $278,829. In terms of dollars, where additional dollars might be available, obviously, one is Project 283, which is the existing street project, has $309,000 available to it. But you might want to keep in mind that you still have a balance of $236,000 in the gas tax fund, and you could use approximately half of those dollars to move the project to Trouville if that's something that you're interested in. The recommendation is to award the construction contract for the base bid to the lowest responsive bidder, Cal Portland. in the amount of the $115,975 and to authorize staff to issue change orders up to $17,241. But you have the other alternatives to consider as well. That's staff's report.
Thank you, Bob. Let's see if there's questions. Mayor Pro Tem Nichols?
No questions.
Yeah, no questions? Oh. Debbie, you have questions?
I have questions. I'm wondering if we were to add another block or another two blocks, which we have some quotes for, obviously then there would be other designated projects that would not be constructed. So what are the, do you recall what those other projects are?
Right now, what's been identified in the CIP for 283, that's your street rehabilitation, you still, and that's coming back to the council again at your next meeting, but at this point you've designated Brighton and Nice are still on that list. Two balance there.
Okay. And then I had another question, and it was very helpful. You did give us the charts of the bids and the bids, the base bids, and then plus one more block, plus one more block. And I did a little. I looked at them, and I was surprised. Well, I had a couple of questions. One was, why is it that one block is a little bit less expensive sometimes than the next block? What changes that? What makes the difference?
You know, the engineer can probably answer that, but it may have more to do with something like the length of that particular block, the amount of material that you're using.
Okay.
You'll notice a difference in between alternatives between mm-hmm. contractors. Mm-hmm. One will be up and the other one will be down. A lot of times it's based on how that particular contractor intends to use his forces on the project, and sometimes they're able to save more if they have that second alternative than another contractor might.
Okay, and I was also surprised that going from the base bid and then adding a block and adding a block didn't really seem to show any economies of scale.
The reality is that we just took some basic formulas in terms of applying which is usually a standard of 15% towards what's called your construction management, and also what you should retain for contingency. The reality is you could proceed. And there's some opportunity that we could achieve economies of scale. Those were estimates that were provided. It is likely that the construction management for the entire area would cost less than the 15% estimate.
Okay, thank you. And then the final question, as I'm looking at the attachment 3 and the bid analysis, as you said, some were cheaper for the second block and some were cheaper for the third block. And I looked at it and I thought, gosh, if we were to take the cheapest bid for each block, then we could save, well, it's only $12,000, but we could save roughly $12,000. So what would be preventing us from doing that?
A couple of things, and the city attorney may be able to answer this as well. If you went with different contractors, that would cause a problem because you would lose your economy of having one contractor on site. There's, you know, all sorts of construction management issues that would likely, in trying to execute the work, that would crop up. So that's primarily what would prevent you from doing that. City attorney?
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, council members. And the other, as I understood your question, could you basically pick and choose from the mm-hmm. bids, and that is not allowed by law.
And that's not that's because we're receiving.
No, it's because the
Whose law?
Well, we could structure the bids that way, mm-hmm. if, but as the city manager explained, we would not achieve any economy of scale because the bidders wouldn't know what part of it. That's why
I see
you go with the base bid.
Mm-hmm.
the lowest base bid, and then if you choose to take the other alternates, then you do so. And they may be more expensive than the other ones in other bids, but the base bid is the lowest, and that is what determines the successful bidder.
Okay, so the law says that we must work with the people who provided the base bid if we wish to do additional work.
Under the structure that we bid the project is, that's correct.
Okay. And finally, I remembered I had one more question on this. If we were to do all three, I believe that one of the other contractors actually ends up being less expensive, but we still have to take the lowest base bid?
Because that's the way this bid was originally structured.
Okay. And are any of the contractors local? Or how local are they?
Arroyo Grande is probably the closest.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions, Mara?
Nope.
Okay. So, Bob, I've been noticing that there's some existing sidewalk on the block between, I want to say Seabright and Trueville. I think the two corner lots actually have sidewalk already, and there's some interior lots that don't. Do you know if this design is to take out existing sidewalk and put something new?
And I can't answer that wholly, but as far as I recollect, it actually is to make use of what that existing sidewalk is.
Hmm. Okay.
It is between
Branch and South and 13th Street, and then they also waited Mentone, although I don't know if we can get that far down, but I've seen many of them huddled when it's raining at that particular location. So I think to the extent that we can find a way to have some efficiencies. Yeah, City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Councilmember. On the drawing that depicts South 13 going towards Trueville, which is the I think the second sheet in the agenda packet, there's a notation on the furthest point away from Trueville, so to the right of the page, that says remove existing sidewalk.
Cool.
It is right near the number 512.
This is under alternative A, limit of work?
That is correct.
Oh, you're right, it does.
So I don't know if there are other areas of existing sidewalk, but there's no other notations as such. So
okay.
This is the only place where I see where it references removal of existing sidewalk.
So perhaps going forward, that's something that can be discussed between staff and the successful contractor, depending on the decision the council makes?
Yes, we will, certainly take the direction to make use of existing sidewalk as long as that would not diminish the standards that we have to meet.
Well, yeah, I would say as long as obviously it's in good shape and it meets ADA requirements.
Right.
We're not gonna, don't want to go through upgrade right. and leave insufficient segments of sidewalk.
Right.
So I know that when we, I don't know if this is a question actually, but I do want a clarification under when you discuss what some of the options are for us. You had talked about reducing a portion of the amount allocated under CIP Project 283, which is 309, and then you talked about remaining gas funds. So are you saying that if I add those two up, just clarification, we're talking $545,000.
You could, that's the total, certainly.
Okay. And if we creatively stretch it, then we may have another $90,000 at some point next year.
Right.
Okay. And I'll when it gets time to comments, I'll kind of tell you what. I'll share where I'm trying to go with this and what I'm thinking, because I know that when the last time we discussed streets, the long-term strategy, we had talked about holding out a portion for some sidewalks, not a large portion, but I think an amount that would allow us to fix some sidewalks and connect some of these so we can have some continuous sidewalks improving the safety of the folks in this community. So I don't have any questions, any additional questions on this. Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone in the audience that would like to address this item before the council. Okay, seeing none, bring it back. So I was kind of picking up on, Debbie, where you were trying to go with this, and I had kind of thought, was thinking this through, and, you know, it would be nice if we can get the sidewalk to Trouville. It would be nice if we had a continuous sidewalk that went from Grand Avenue down to Trouville and over to the community building. I think that, and then if they, so that they would go west, they would get to the community building. If they went east, they would get to Mentone and the basketball court. So I would think that would be a nice continuous segment of sidewalk, improving safety so people aren't walking, not necessarily down the middle of the street, but certainly walking out in the street. So I know that when we talked about the long-term plan for streets, we had talked about possibly holding out $50,000 for sidewalks. And if I do the math, what I'm looking at is, and I understand we can't cherry pick with respect to different bidders, but what I was looking at was with the base bid and alternative A, the number I get, and this is, with, I guess, Cal Portland, 115,901 for the base,
right,
mm-hmm. and 106,401 for alternative A.
Mm-hmm. And what we have just done, that's correct. That's the construction dollars. What we have just done is added the contingency.
I understand. So, but I'm just talking construction at this point. And then if you're saying we have $157,142 in CDBG monies that we either use on this project or we would have to go through a whole process of finding another project that actually qualified to use those dollars.
Right.
And then if we said we went back to it, I think there was maybe a policy decision that we would look at, or we would in fact say
fund that we currently have will have $236,000 in. We're looking at adding $106,000 to the $115,000. I'm not sure, but what we have another $50,000 that you were talking about. I think we can use that gas tax fund because it is going to be replenished. I don't think we're going to hurt ourselves budget-wise by using that. So I definitely think we should at least go through alternate A, which, according to my figures, brings us to about $222,000. And I would strongly support that.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
One of the reasons I would support that also is that 13th Street, those blocks there are the blocks that parallel the school, which is just one block west. And so I think not only the bus stops, and also the streets are really inconsistent there. You sometimes go up over a little bit of a sand dune that's still there, and there's some grass, and there's some. It's just really hard to walk on, and it's dangerous. But particularly if we have children walking along that street to get to school, I think we have to do that.
Good point. I think I had written it down and forgot to mention that, so good point.
So I have
Karen?
A question then. So then where does that leave us with the funds in the street rehabilitation project, the CIP 283. Where would that leave us with that?
If the council, as the mayor suggests, wanted to take $50,000 from the 309, that would leave you with the $259,000 still sitting in the street fund. Mm-hmm.
And then, so you're talking about the gas tax fund, the 236?
Right. Using, if I'm following correctly, using the suggestion by the mayor, you would use $50,000 from the street fund, as we've mentioned, and then you would use... That would reduce what you've got coming out of the gas tax fund by the equivalent $50,000. So you'd be looking at only using about $80,000 out of that gas tax dollars. any efficiencies that we were able to achieve from construction management or contingencies that don't occur, we would just return those funds to the parent fund, so to speak.
Okay. And so then let's talk again about what project, what the CIP project 283 was, is.
It's $309,000 to do two streets, and as the mayor had indicated, there was a prior discussion regarding reserving $50,000 for sidewalks.
So I think I think where you're going with this is how much money is remaining for streets, and then what streets are on the list, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I guess the way I'm looking at the math is that we would probably have somewhere in the ballpark of about $500,000, maybe a little less, for streets. And then I know that we're going to be talking about streets on the 19th.
Right.
And then we'll have to decide which ones on the list we can move forward on. And I think the last time we had talked, it was Brighton and Nice?
That's correct.
And I know that those streets have been on the list for a long time.
Yes.
And people have been looking towards that for a long time. So I just want to make sure that, you know, we've been talking about doing these for a long time, and I want to make sure that we still have money to do these. So.
Agreed. I understand. And I would say there's probably a chance that the gas tax will be maybe a little higher given these exorbitant gas prices.
Well, it's the only interesting thing about that is the gas tax is a statewide pool, and the actual distribution is very complicated, and it's not the gas that you sell in your own community.
Yeah.
It's population,
it's a little,
and everything else.
Yeah.
Not
variable.
But I think if there are efficiencies, then that number could come down, and we're talking contingency. So hopefully staff will work and figure out a way to squeeze out some efficiencies. But anyway, what's the pleasure of the council?
I'm going to stick with my recommendation that we go with alternate A, which will pave from Manhattan. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, just to clarify the direction in revising the capital improvement plan budget, will take $50,000 from fund 283, and the residual will come out of gas tax.
That's correct. I think that's consistent with the policy.
So will we be bringing a budget amendment back at
yes.
the next meeting?
Okay. Yeah, on the consent calendar.
Okay. So that concludes item number 6. We're going to go into council committee reports. Councilmember Wright, anything you want to report tonight?
I have had no committee meetings since our last meeting. Thank
okay.
you.
Councilmember Monar?
Nothing. There will be some this week.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson?
Yes. There was a meeting of the Slo County Visitors and Conference Bureau, and the Save of the Central Coast was just about $30,000 short of breaking even this year. Mm. However, that $30,000 had been carried, a little more had been carried over from the year previous, so at which they were continuing to carry forward. So I think all in all, they've done well with it, and they did manage to make better sales and make some savings in what they were doing. And the Economic Vitality Corporation, we had two presentations, one from the airport saying that they are still working on getting other carriers in, and I asked if we're able to get the conference center to go through, and we are the biggest in the county, does that have any impact on the airport? And he said, yeah, it's a significant impact. So I was really pleased to hear that we could be a good impact. And the other thing we had was an impassioned plea by Gil Stork, who's the president of Cuesta. I won't tell you how he asked us to vote, but we had an impassioned plea.
Understand. Let's see. I don't have anything to report. Nothing. I haven't had a slow call board meeting since we last met. And then the RTA meeting is on Wednesday. I have clear direction from the council on that item. And that's it. So, Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, I have for each of you a copy of a report to the member agencies from the Sanitation District, which has been put together by the administrator and the board of directors for your knowledge.
Okay, and when we read this, it's okay, we'll call you directly with questions.
Sure, if you have any questions, please.
Because I know we haven't had a chance to read this tonight, and I would say that that I'm sure some of us will have questions, so feel free to call Bill with those questions, and then we can discuss it a little more on November 19th, next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Let's see, we don't have any council member items tonight. Council communications. Let's start to my left. Phyllis, anything?
No.
Okay, Debbie? Mm-hmm. Bill? Mm-hmm. Karen? Two things for me. The Central Coast Economic Forecast is this Friday, and I didn't know if anyone had planned on attending. I'm not sure if elected officials are given complimentary passes to that.
You know, I haven't received anything.
I will be attending as a member of the EVC board.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's usually a pretty good session, so if you can check on that, Bob, and,
yes,
and let everyone know. And then I think everyone knows that tomorrow is Election Day, so go out and vote. So I can say that. I can say that. City Attorney, any reports or comments tonight?
No, Mayor, thank you.
Closed session items. Can you cover those?
Yeah, too, certainly. It is the intention of City Council to meet in closed session on two items tonight. First one is existing litigation, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach. The second one is a conference with real property negotiators, and it pertains to various city public right-of-ways, and the opposing party or the negotiating party is Digital West Networks.
Okay. So then with that, we are going to recess the meeting and convene closed session.